tonight. I got into trouble with Gail Amshay tonight. She rebuked me tonight before I came, which, and I probably deserved it too. Gail said yes, but no, we were kidding, and I was kidding, and Gail was kidding, hopefully. I hope. But it's good to be with you again tonight. And tonight we're studying the theme of forgiveness. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 first tonight. Forgiveness is a Wonderful Thing, part 2. This morning we were talking more or less about God's forgiveness for us, how God can forgive our sins. And tonight we're going to cover the theme of forgiveness from a different point of view. That is that we need to forgive one another or forgive other people. And I think that that's one of the most important things. As I went about and checked the Bible passages in this message, I was amazed at the number of times that the Lord Jesus talked about forgiving one another. And I had to reach the conclusion that forgiveness is an important thing for God in our personal relationship with one another. And I picked out some passages tonight to illustrate that. And this message hopefully will help you and me understand what forgiveness really is when we forgive one another or when we forgive other people. And, we run into things in our lives that our relationships in our family or in our friendships, within the local church, where we work, where we go to school, sometimes things don't, the friendships we have and that we have with other people, sometimes we need to forgive other people and they need to forgive us. And the Lord Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Let's look at those verses 14 and 15 in Matthew 6. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now these two verses probably are connected to verse 12 in the Lord's Prayer, which said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That verse that we all know in the Lord's Prayer. It simply says in verse 14 that if we forgive other people their trespasses, their sins, God will forgive us. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, especially I think these two verses are apply to our prayer life more than anything else. And in verse 15, Jesus says, but if you forgive not men, if you don't forgive people their sins, their trespasses, he said that your Father will not forgive your trespasses. For instance, if we go to prayer and to the Lord and we're confessing our sins and yet we still have unforgiveness in our heart towards someone else, those sins that we've confessed, we have to reach the conclusion that God will not forgive. Now, this is a conditional statement that the Lord Jesus is talking about in verses 14 and 15. If we do this, God will do this. If we don't do this, God will not do this. So we have to conclude from these two verses that it's important for us, when we go to the Lord in prayer, to search our hearts before God, relying upon the Spirit of God, and making certain that there is no unforgiveness in our hearts toward other people, no matter what they've done to us. And we'll develop that a little bit more later on. And one of the spiritual truths that we can take away from these two verses is forgiveness is essential in our relationship with God, brother, sister in Christ. Forgiveness is essential to our relationship with God. Because if we have unforgiveness in our heart, it's going to hurt. And I would think it will ruin your relationship, our relationship with God. And also in Matthew chapter 18, there's some more verses. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Peter's talking to the Lord in verse 21. He says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Now Peter, when he came to the Lord, who was asking him about forgiving others, he said, should I forgive 7 times? Peter thought he was probably being pretty generous here. But the Lord told Peter, Peter, you shouldn't forgive people just 7 times, but 70 times 7. I had to work that out again. I remember my multiplication tables vaguely in the fourth grade. And 70 times 7 is 490 times. So if you sin against me 490 times, I'm supposed to forgive you. Now, after the 491st time, you can forgive it. I'm kidding. I said that. Just want to make sure you're awake, that's all. But what the Lord is telling Peter here in these verses is we are supposed to forgive people an unlimited amount of time. An unlimited amount of time. You know, that's... That's in our relationships with one another, especially in a family where we have husband, wife, children, parents relationship. You know, when we rub shoulders against one another, when we're with each other 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and sooner or later we're going to get on each other's nerves. I mean, that's inevitable. And personalities being the way they are, some personalities we like and some we don't like. In our personal relationships with one another, in a family relationship, sometimes, you know, harsh words or hard words are exchanged between parents and children or between the spouses. And during that time, we are supposed to remember and look to the Lord and make sure that we forgive not just 7 times in a day, but 70 times 7, an unlimited amount of time. And, you know, we've been in relationships with especially the people at work. You know, I recall during the days I was working that sometimes we would get on each other's nerves, or sometimes our relationships become strained and we say things and do things that, you know, we shouldn't do and we shouldn't say. And during that time, I had to make a note of this, because most of the people I worked with were not Christians, that I was supposed to develop a forgiving attitude toward the people that I work with. That we should develop forgiving attitudes toward the people we are in school with. We should develop a forgiving attitude in our families, with our husband, with our wife, with our children, and with our parents. You know, I think the Lord Jesus is telling us here in some of these verses that he takes forgiveness and unforgiveness seriously, brother, sister in Christ. As I said before, forgiveness is essential in our relationship with God. And if forgiveness is essential in our relationship with God, it should be essential in our relationships with one another. And the Lord Jesus here in Matthew 18 is telling Peter that we are supposed to forgive. We have a duty to forgive an unlimited amount of time when people sin against us. And they will. People will sin against us, one way or the other. And there's some more verses found in Luke chapter 17. Let's turn to Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 3. Luke 17:3, the Lord says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now in Luke 17:3, the Lord is telling us here that no matter how many times someone sins against us, if they ask for forgiveness, we have a duty and responsibility to that person and to God to forgive them. Let me repeat that. No matter how many times someone sins against us, if they ask for forgiveness, we have a duty and responsibility to that person and to God to forgive them. And, you know, I have a hard time with that. I'll be honest with you. People offend me or sin against me, man, I just go ballistic. Maybe not in their presence. But, you know, and we have to deal with that. We have to deal with, you know, and I've let unforgiveness build up in my heart, brother and sister in Christ. We have to be honest about that. And I know you have too, from time to time, over the years, if you've been saved for a number of years. That unforgiveness can take a hold in our heart. And what happens is, if we develop a heart of unforgiveness toward a person or other people, what builds up in our heart is bitterness. Well, what builds up in our heart, first of all, is a grudge against that person. And then after that, bitterness builds up in our heart. And if bitterness builds up in our heart, we're unforgiving toward everybody. We get offended by just the smallest, tiny little thing if bitterness comes into our heart. And we must guard against that. And, I don't know your heart, but the Lord Jesus does. He knows my heart. He knows what's in there. And, you know, when we talk to one another, when we interact with one another, whether it's here at the local church or in our family, in our relationships, it's essential that we develop an attitude of forgiveness. If we develop an attitude of unforgiveness in our heart, we will hold grudges, bitterness will take hold, and that will ruin our relationship with the Lord. If we let unforgiveness build up in our heart, brother, sister in Christ, you're out of fellowship with God. I mean, that's the honest. I mean, we have to be honest about that. Same thing for me. I've been through that. People have offended me and sinned against me. Most of them were non-Christians, for the most part, over the years. A few Christians have offended me, but not too many. And, you know, I have to deal with that. I had to go to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, I was angry and mad and against the person. And I finally had to reach a conclusion. I had to forgive that person. I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to have to help me forgive this person because I can't do it in my own strength. And the Spirit of God did. He gave me the power to forgive that person. And brother and sister in Christ, the Spirit of God can do the same thing for you. He can give you the power to forgive. You can't do that in your own strength. If you do, you're a lot stronger than I am. But the Holy Spirit can give us the power we need to forgive other people when they sin against us. And then in verse 3 in Luke 17, the Lord Jesus is saying if a brother, that is a fellow believer, trespasses or sins against you, rebuke him. Now, when we say rebuke, that doesn't mean we take a baseball bat and go over and club that poor fellow to death. Or we get a hammer and start working on his skull, you know. That's not rebuking people. We don't get in people's faces and yell at them and scold them, push them up against the wall. You know, that's not rebuking. That's almost like a physical assault. When the Lord says rebuke here, he's saying, you know, Earl, what you said to me, it kind of hurt me. And I wish you hadn't said what you did because you really did hurt me and you hurt my feelings. And I just want to come back and tell you that. Now, I have a choice at that point in time. I've been rebuked. I could say, well, hey, listen, that's your problem. You deal with it. You know, I'm busy. I ain't got time to talk to you right now. You know, that could be my attitude. But that's not the Lord Jesus' attitude. The Lord Jesus would say, well, you know, I'm sorry. I apologize for offending you. I was wrong. I'll try not to do it again. I hope that you forgive me for that. See, that's the attitude that the Lord Jesus wants from you and me in our relationships with one another. If a brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And in verse 4 it says, if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I've never had people offend me or sin against me. One person has never sinned against me 7 times in one day. At least not yet. You know, I'm still alive, so that might happen one of these days. But the Lord Jesus is saying here that regardless of how many times that person sins against you, If they ask for forgiveness, we have a duty and responsibility to God and to that person to forgive that person from our heart. And again, the Lord knows our hearts. You know, we could say, oh yeah, I forgive you. Yeah, right, sure. And really not mean it, you know. You know, if we forgive somebody, it has to be a sincere forgiveness from the heart. That's what God wants. That's what God expects from you and me. When we forgive someone, it has to be real. It has to be real. And these two verses in Luke 17, I think, are instructive for us because it hits us home where we live. It hits us in our relationships with one another, with other people. It hits us in our family relationships between a husband and wife, and children and parents, parents and children. And we have as I said before, the Lord expects us to develop a heart and a mind of forgiveness toward other people. That's God's, you know, that's what God wants. That's what the Lord Jesus had. You know, if you read the gospel accounts of our Savior, you'll see that He always forgave. And we discussed this morning of the people gathered, that mob gathered around the cross, making fun of and ridiculing and mocking the Savior. He forgave them. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the same attitude that our Savior expects from you and me, brother, sister in Christ. He expects us to forgive one another from our hearts, just like He forgave us. Well, let's go to another aspect of forgiveness found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a different aspect of forgiveness I discovered in my study for this message. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're talking about sin in the local assembly. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes, "And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I come I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. For if any hath caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him." What had happened in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would read that, we're not going to read it tonight. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul was writing, one of the reasons he wrote this letter to the Christians at Corinth was there was a sin committed by one of the believers in that local meeting, local assembly, that church, in which he had sexual relations with his stepmother. He committed adultery. Paul, in very strong language in 1 Corinthians 5, rebuked the Christians there for not doing anything about this man. They let him go on with his sin, in his sin, without taking any action against him. And Paul rebuked the Christians in Corinth for doing that. Paul recommended to the Christians that they put this man out of fellowship in the local church there in Corinth. And they did so. The Christians did follow Paul's advice. They did take this man and put him out of fellowship for the sin that he had committed. They had put him out of fellowship of the local church. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul heard that the offending brother had repented, that he had confessed his sin. And in verse 6, Paul said that sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. Paul is saying that the brother has suffered enough. If he's repented, that's enough for him. And also said, Paul urged the Christians in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 2 to forgive him and comfort him. In verse 7, Paul said that so that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. The Apostle Paul is giving advice to the Christians here in Corinth to make sure that they forgive this brother. If he's repented of his sin, that they should comfort him and forgive him. And Paul urged the Christians to reaffirm their love for him. In verse 8, Paul said, "Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm or affirm your love toward him," that the Christians in Corinth should take this brother and reaffirm the fact that they still love him. And, you know, I was thinking this was some guidelines that Paul laid down for dealing with a public sin in the local assembly. And this man had committed a sin, the sin of adultery. And it was a known sin, a public sin, in that not only in that local church, but outside of the church as well. And Paul urged the brethren there in Corinth that they had to deal with this public sin from this man. They ended up putting him out of fellowship. The man repented. He expressed godly sorrow for what he had done, the sin that he had committed. And the Christians there took this man back into their fellowship, and they comforted him and forgave him. And this is always God's way, isn't it? You know, when we confess our sins to the Lord, He is going to forgive. If we confess our sins, He will cleanse us and restore us to fellowship. This man, even though he committed this horrible sin, he confessed that sin to the Lord. The Lord forgave him and restored him to fellowship. And Paul was urging the Christians there in Corinth to take him back, to comfort him, and to forgive him. That's always God's way of dealing with sin like that. And we should look at one another. You know, if we've sinned, I'm not saying that a sin is serious, a public sin is serious as that that you would put me out of fellowship at a local church, but what I'm saying is, when we sin, and we understand that somebody has committed a sin, we should urge that brother, that sister, to confess that sin to the Lord. And then when we hear that they've confessed that sin to the Lord, that we should comfort them and forgive them. Because God has done that, you see. God has comforted that brother or sister and forgiven them. So should we. That's always God's way. This is an aspect of forgiveness that we usually don't talk about in 2 Corinthians 2. But I noticed that in verse 8 there, or verse 7 rather, when Paul said, "Comfort the offending brother, and we should also forgive him." And that's always God's way, brother, sister in Christ, is comfort and forgiveness. If we're willing to confess, if we're willing to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I've sinned against you. I am sorry for what I did," God will take us back and He will restore us. We, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a similar duty and responsibility in the local church, that if a brother is out of fellowship, and that in this particular case, this man who committed the sin was put out of fellowship, he has repented and he has returned, he was supposed to be comforted and forgiven by the brothers or the brethren there in that local church. That's always God's way. That's always God's way. And in the Word of God, it's very clear here what we're supposed to do. Paul made it clear, abundantly clear, in 1 Corinthians 5. If you read that chapter, you'll see that Paul rebuked the Corinthians there in strong, very strong language. And the Corinthians ended up putting this brother out of fellowship because of that sin, but they took him back when he confessed that sin, when he was sorry for what he did. They embraced him, they comforted him, and they forgave him. And that should be our attitude also. Well, let's move on to another aspect of forgiveness found in Colossians chapter 3. Let's turn to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. These are some things that we can do in our personal relationships with one another. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." First of all, in verse 12 there, the Apostle Paul is urging us to put on or to make these character traits, these virtues in verse 12, our own. The first thing he says, we'll go through these rather quickly, because I want to get to verse 13. The first thing that we should make as part of our Christian life, bowels of mercies, that is, tender mercies, a compassionate heart. We should have kindness, that is, an attitude of doing good for other people. We should also have humbleness of mind. That's humility. We think of others before we think of ourselves. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Not self-assertive, but denying oneself for the sake of other people. Meekness. Long-suffering. That means patient under provocation or perseverance in suffering. Long-suffering. You have to be long-suffering with me, brother, sister in Christ, because I need it. And I've got to be long-suffering with you. The Lord, think of the times that the Lord Jesus Christ has been long-suffering with us. Just think about that. Think about that time in our lives before we knew Christ, how long-suffering He was, even when we were in our sins and doing terrible, horrible things, saying terrible, horrible things, yet He was long-suffering with us and forgave us our sins. We discovered that this morning. But here the Apostle Paul is using that word, long-suffering, to teach us that we should be patient when we're provoked and that we should persevere in suffering. That's long-suffering. Now, verse 13, Paul goes on to say that we should be forbearing one another and forgiving one another. That phrase, forbearing one another, means that we put up with one another. That's what I call it. And sometimes that's easy and sometimes that's not. Because, you know, we all have personality quirks and things that kind of grate on people. You know, I have those things. You have those things. And the Paul is saying that we should forbear one another. We should be willing to put up with personality quirks. We should be able to ignore things that when people get on our nerves, we don't lose our temper. We develop an attitude of forgiveness. That's tough for me to do. I'll be honest with you. People get on my nerves, I want to smack them upside the head. You know, that's what I want. See, men, when they get aggravated, they want to hit somebody or hit something. Women cry, I think, most of the time. Not all the time. Because I've been smacked by women, too. So, but, you know, when we're forbearing one another, we're putting up with one another. We're dealing with one another's personalities. And, you know, some people have very pleasing personalities, and some people don't. And we've got to learn as God's people to deal with personality traits that we all have. That's what it means to forbear one another. But the phrase I want to look at in verse 13, the Apostle Paul says that we should be forgiving to one another. Forgiving to one another. That is, we don't hold a grudge. We let go of an offense. We don't hold a grievance against other people. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. We learned about that this morning when we found out that the Lord, one of the things in Jeremiah 31:34, we found out that Hebrew word forgive, one of the meanings is that God lets go of our sins. That God doesn't hold our sins up to remembrance. And you know, that's the attitude that we should have. When we forgive one another, that means we don't hold a grudge. And I've made it a practice in my life as a believer not to hold grudges against other people. I've tried my best to do that. And if I have a grudge in my heart against other people, I go to the Lord and I confess the sin of unforgiveness, and I will say, Lord, help me deal with this person, and please take away that grudge that's in my heart against that person. I've always tried to do that. And, you know, that's the thing, that's one of the things that you and I as the people of God, as Christians, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we should be forgiving to one another. And one of the reasons or one of the questions that comes up, well, why should we do these things? Why should we put on bowels of mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and suffering? Why should we be forbearing to one another? Why should we forgive one another? What's the big deal there? The reason in verse 13 is because even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even as Christ forgave you, so also should you. Brother, sister in Christ, Jesus Christ has forgiven us for more sins than we'll ever than other people ever sin against us. Think of the incredible forgiveness that our Savior has given to you and to me. Think about that. And the fact that He wants us to be just as forgiving to other people, that we should follow His example, that we should look to Him when people offend us and sin against us. You know, the Lord Jesus always forgave, and He expects the same from us. That's why we should be forbearing to one another. That's why we should forgive one another, because the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us. He has forgiven us. And there's another passage found in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. These are familiar verses that you know. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, verses 30 through 32. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And there it is a little bit more plainly put at the end of verse 32. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you know, as I read these verses, a thought came to my mind. Thoughts do come to my mind every now and then. And one of the things I was thinking about, if we don't develop the character traits in verse 32, we'll develop the character traits in verse 31. Let's look at those character traits in verse 31. Bitterness. I think we understand what bitterness is, a smoldering resentment, harsh feeling toward other people. That's bitterness. Wrath, that's rage, violent passion, temper tantrums. Anger means grouchiness or hostility. Clamor, angry bickering or shouting. Evil speaking means insulting language, abusive speech. Malice, wishing evil to others, being spiteful. That's what malice is. And I would ask a question to each one of us, including myself. In your Christian life, would you want to develop the characteristics found in verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice? Would you like to develop those characteristics in your Christian life? Or would you like to develop the characteristics found in verse 32, kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving one another? That should be a no-brainer as far as an answer is concerned. But you know, if we develop a heart of unforgiveness or unkindness, if we develop a heart of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice, if we develop those things in our life, we'll develop a heart of unforgiveness. Those things will become part of our mind and our heart. When bitterness takes hold, brother, sister in Christ, when bitterness takes hold in your heart, it will ruin your relationship with the Lord. It will ruin your relationship with other people. What we should develop in our life is found in verse 32. Be kind to one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Those are the attributes that the Lord Jesus had. Those are the attributes that God wants you and me to develop in our Christian experience, in our lives. And like I said, if we develop those characteristics in verse 31, we certainly won't develop the characteristics in verse 32. That won't happen. And we have to make a decision. We have to decide what type of characteristics we're going to develop in our lives as believers. I hope that we develop the characteristics found in verse 32, kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness toward one another, toward our family members, toward the people we work with, toward the people we go to school with, toward the people in our community. That's what God wants, you see. The Lord Jesus Christ perfectly emulated kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness in His life. That it was seen so clearly and so perfectly in His life. What an example that is for us to look at the life of the Lord Jesus and see the kindness and the tenderheartedness and the forgiveness He had for other people. And I believe in verse 31 that it's when Paul says, let all bitterness and all these other things be put away from you. Let all these things be put away from you. Don't let these things become part of our life, our heart, our mind. We should let the things found in verse 32, kindness, tender heart, and forgiveness. The word here for forgiveness means an eager to pardon offenses. Eager to pardon offenses. It can also mean that we don't retaliate against the people that hurt us, that sin against us. And nobody says that that's going to be easy. We have to be honest about that. You know, when we're hurt, when somebody hurts us, somebody sins against us, I mean, for some people, that can be a devastating and traumatic thing because of the sensitivity they have in their souls. And it's easy to develop a mind of retaliation. Well, what can I do to get back at that person? Or what can I do to do something against that person to hurt him or hurt her? They hurt me, I'm going to get back at them, and I'm going to hurt them. That's retaliation. But the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, which is indwelling us, would say no to that. They would say, be kind to that person who hurts you. Be tender-hearted to that person who sins against you, and forgive that person. That's what the Lord Jesus would tell each one of us tonight. And I don't know what's in your heart. The Lord does. And if we have a grudge against somebody else, if we have unforgiveness in our heart, you know, we can go to the Lord. We can confess that sin right now to the Lord and say, Lord, I confess that sin of unforgiveness, of wanting to get back at that person. You know, and the Lord, He will cleanse us and He will restore us. That's the kind of God we have. We have a compassionate and loving and forgiving God. If we go to Him and confess, He will cleanse and He will restore. And I hope that these thoughts will be helpful to you. I know that when I studied these verses, especially the ones in Colossians and Ephesians, I was struck by the fact that, you know, in our everyday life as believers, there's so many things that come up in our life that can grate on us. There are so many people in our lives, even our close family members, husbands, wives, children, whatever, parents, that, you know, they can offend us, they can say things that hurt us. But, you know, at the same time, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you and me to develop a heart of forgiveness and kindness and tenderheartedness toward everybody. Toward everybody. That's God's way. That's God's way. That's what the Lord wants. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us inside of us the Spirit of God who gives us the power and the ability to forgive other people who hurt us and sin against us. Help us, Father, to develop a heart and mind of forgiveness and kindness and tenderheartedness toward other people. We pray, Father, that we will become more like the Lord Jesus Christ in our attitudes toward one another. We pray, Father, that these instructions given tonight may become part of our life and our heart and our mind. We pray, Father, that we will become more and more just like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to a cross and died for our sins. We just give thanksgiving and praise in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.